Sermons from the Journey is the audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Becca Gorell, pastor at Lebanon United Methodist Church in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and blogging at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening. The rocks and stones are a powerful metaphor throughout the Bible for many, many, many things. The presence of God, the voice of those who need a voice. We think of the altars of the Hebrew Bible. Long before altars were beautifully crafted out of wood, they were slabs of stone or piles of rock on which people would offer sacrifice, animal sacrifices or oil sacrifices and grain offerings. And those rocks became the place at which the people's voices were lifted in adoration of God. And long after the people stopped worshiping in those places, those piles of rocks still stood as a testimony to God's presence and to the presence of the people, lifting adoration to God, shouting out adoration and worship. Or we think of Jacob in the Hebrew Bible, and after he has the dream of the spiraling stairs of some sort or a ladder of some sort into heaven and angels ascending and descending, he wakes from the dream and he places a rock in that place. He says, surely the presence of God is in this place. And that rock, long after Jacob has walked away, long after his descendants have ceased to remember that land, that rock stood as testimony to God's presence in the world, in that place. We think of Moses leading the people of Israel in the wilderness, and when they were thirsty and there was no water for them to drink, Moses took his staff and he struck a rock with it, and water came forth from the rock, pouring out literally God's abundance, God's provision, as if the rock itself could speak of God's blessing to the people. We think of pillars and shrines that people have erected throughout time and space and history, all over the world and all different religions. We think even of the cairns in the woods that we still build and use today, little pillars and markers that tell fellow travelers, you are not alone on this journey. You are not the first one to pass by this way. You're on the right path. We are in this journey together. We think of the stones that are left, all that is left of the temple of Jesus' day in Jerusalem, the Western Wall, where people of Israel and people from around the world still gather and lift their prayers and write them on pieces of paper and slide them between the cracks in the stones, so that long after they have walked away, that place, those stones might lift prayer to God, might cry out, shout out in prayer. We think of our siblings from the tradition of Islam, who gather either at the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem or make pilgrimage to the Kaaba in Mecca, a large rock that is the holiest site in Islam. There is something about rocks and stones that communicates that steadfastness of God's presence in the world. We think of how preachers have for generations begun their messages with a simple prayer from the words of the psalmist, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. If we keep silent, the very rocks will shout out, the stones will cry out these things, will cry out God's abundance, will cry out God's presence in the world, will cry out our adoration, will cry out our prayers. As the crowds gather around Jesus and process with him, celebrate with him, entering into Jerusalem, and those whose power is threatened by this show of nonviolent strength, by this political demonstration that proclaims Jesus as the ruler and not Caesar, not Pilate, not Herod. They say, shh, tell them to be quiet. Tell the people to be silent. And Jesus says, well, I could do that. But even if I did, the stones themselves would cry out as they have cried out for millennia. Adoration and praise, worship and thanksgiving, petition and abundance and hope and the presence of God. We think of Jesus and we sometimes describe him himself as the rock. That's a song I used to sing in camp when I was a kid, right? Jesus is the rock and he rolls my blues away. Bop, shoo, bop, bop, shoo, bop. Right? And then Jesus himself would turn to Peter and say to him, Peter, who was not called Peter but was called Simon, and say to him, now I call you Peter, which means rocky. It's like a nickname. And you are the rock on which I will build my church. So we are the people, we the church are the people built on the rock. The rock of Peter, the rock of Christ, the rock of God's abundance and blessing and presence in the world. And surely when the world keeps silent, we will cry out. We will shout out God's presence, God's abundance, God's blessing, God's provision, God's hope, God's healing in the world. How could we keep silent? But there's something else we do with rocks, with stones, in our society, one more way in which we let them cry out. We memorialize with them. At the site of an important event, much like Jacob awakening from his dream and placing a rock, but after a battle, a place where many have fallen, we erect a rock, sometimes a huge rock, sometimes a beautifully carved stone. Often we inscribe on it words and stories so that long after those people who have fallen are gone and their descendants remember their names no more, they are written there on that rock. And the story of what happened in that place is inscribed on that rock. Their voices are silenced by death and by the distance of time, but the rock shouts out for what was given here, what was lost here, what happened here. And we do this not only with memorials and statues, but with our own everyday beloved lost ones. We place stones above their heads, above the sites where their remains are placed, inscribing sometimes just their name or just the dates during which they lived. Maybe a few words, a word of scripture, a word of hope, one line to try to describe them so that long after they are gone and we are gone, and their voice and our voice is silenced, the rock can speak for them, can tell a bit of their story, can share, can speak, can shout on behalf of those who are silenced. Because when I think about that and when I think about the rocks shouting out for those who have no voices, I also think about the story of Cain and Abel in the Hebrew Bible. After Cain killed Abel, God knew of this action, we are told, God says, because the earth cried out, the very bedrock of the world cried out for justice, cried out for healing, cried out at the agony of what had happened. The stones cry out for those whose voices are silenced, for those who cannot speak for themselves. And so if even every voice were silent, the rocks themselves would shout out justice. They would shout out mercy. They would shout out the need for healing. They would shout out the need for God to hear and to see. The people of Jerusalem needed justice. They were living in a society that was holding them down, that was oppressing and repressing. A society in which those in power gained and kept that power on the very backs and bodies and souls of the people over which they presided. And it was not safe always or ever for them to speak out, cry out, shout out. And when they dared to cry, here is the one we want to follow, here is the model of what we think leadership should be, the authorities tried to silence them. And Jesus said no. Even the stones would shout out. And so to this day, when voices are silenced, we, the church, the ones built on the rock, must shout out. We must become the voices for those who have no voice, who have lost their voice, whose voices have been taken away. We must shout out for generations not yet born, who will need an earth on which to live, with clean water and clean air and sustainability, and they cannot speak for themselves. And so we must shout out sustainability for the animals and plants and living creatures who cannot speak in words that we hear. We must shout out environmental justice. We'll get to economic justice in a moment. You know me. Jumping ahead a little bit there. For young black men shot in cities and towns across our country, whose voices are silenced by death, we must shout out. We must shout out peace. We must shout out gentleness. For transgender youth ending their own lives rather than face one more day of reinscribed systemic soul-crushing oppression, we must shout out hope. We must shout out safety. For those living in fear, as hate crime and discrimination and segregation are packaged as legislation to protect religious freedom that we enjoy in the name of the one who came in peace, we must shout out equality. We must shout out justice. With thanksgiving for those who have died in the cause of justice, for civil rights leaders, for soldiers and peacekeepers, for all who are willing to give the greatest gift that they had to give, to lay down their lives for the sake of their friends, their loved ones, their families, their communities, their countries, we must shout out thanksgiving. And for the veterans who fought but did not die and yet returned to their country and received benefits not fit to sustain them after all that they have given, that we must shout out again justice. We must shout out mercy. For people living in the shame and stigma of illness, afraid to speak of the burdens that they bear, people living with the disease of addiction, seeking treatment but afraid of what others might think, we must shout out healing. We must shout out sanctuary. For those living with abuse and violence in their homes and their communities, assault and fear, physical and emotional, we must shout out, here is safe haven. We must shout out comfort. Oh, comfort our people. For those who disagree with their neighbors, their communities, with their teachers or their bosses or their churches or their pastors or their politicians, but feel silenced and feel they can't say that, we must shout out, every voice matters. Every person matters. For the forgotten, hungry, and poor, in a world in which money talks, when their voices are silenced and their bellies are grumbling louder than their words could ever speak, we must shout out sustainability once more. We must shout out God's abundance and provision. For a world and in a world that has forgotten both God's presence and God's justice, both the need to shout Hosanna and the need to cry justice. For a world in which people neglect and forget the very presence of God, we, the church, the people built on the rock, when all other voices are silent, we cry out Hosanna. We cry out praise and thanksgiving. We cry out worship and adoration to a God that many will say doesn't exist. We cry out, hear our prayer. We cry out hope and wholeness. We cry out justice and compassion and mercy. We shout for those whose voices are silenced and for our own voices stifled within us, for the voices of one another stifled within us, for all those who can't yet feel the need, feel the power to say Hosanna because of the fear and the brokenness and the pain in themselves and in the world around them, we will carry that song for them. And for all of those whose voices go unheard, we will carry that cry for justice for them. As I shared with the children, I've brought some rocks. I have withheld them until the end of the service, lest the service run too long and people be tempted. But as you leave from either door, there'll be some baskets of some rock, some stones. They have a little dust on them, don't we all? They have rough edges and sharp spots, don't we all? They are imperfect, aren't we all? And I invite you to take one and to carry it with you this week as we enter Holy Week. If you are feeling like you are particularly good at remembering things, you can bring it back on Holy Thursday. Maundy Thursday, we'll have a use for rocks during that service as well. But if not, we will also have more if you forget yours or if you've become very attached to it, which you might. I invite you to carry it in a pocket or in your purse or place it somewhere where you will see it a few times this week and ask yourself where this rock is reminding you to cry out, to shout out. Does it remind you of a place to praise God this week, this holy week? Then lift a word of Hosanna. Does it remind you to cry for justice for someone else or for yourself? Then lift a word of prayer or speak a word to power. But let this rock speak to you, cry out to you even when your voice is silent, reminding you to shout for justice and for praise, reminding you that even when our voices are silent, all of God's creation, even the stones themselves, will cry justice, will cry Hosanna. Amen.